Tacky Talk time, folks, with State Representative Tacky Chan of Quincy joining us for our weekly update. Hey, Tacky, how are you?
Hey Joe, good to see you. Hope you survived the windstorm this week. I have not had my house shake like that in a while. I don't live exactly on the water. I'm sure people living right on the water got it considerably worse than I did. But the wind was whipping off the marsh pretty badly. So and we just talked a little before we started about some tree damage, which I had to resolve in a short period of time.
That was wild there. Matter of fact, the peak wind gust atop Blue Hill was 81 miles per hour.
Oh, that's like tropical storm category one hurricane level.
That's Category 1 hurricane. Yes, exactly. So it's amazing there wasn't more damage.
And no one got hurt. Very thankful for the fact that despite a lot of crazy weather events in the past 4 weeks, basically a blizzard, another one that should have been a blizzard, and then these windstorms coming through, plus the rapid temperature changes, no one was really seriously hurt in the last several storms. So very blessed for that.
Indeed, yeah, absolutely. That's always the key factor. Typical March craziness every year.
Yeah, right. I mean, what March winds, April showers bring you May flowers.
We'll see what happens. Stay tuned. I remember the year it snowed in May.
Yeah. I remember April snow. Again, April Fool's storm was always my favorite.
Well, I guess the big news, you're in your office there at the State House, and a big bill passed yesterday, spending bill.
Yeah, we I have the fact sheet here. We passed some leftover money associated with the Fair Share Amendment that was passed by the voters, the so-called millionaire's tax. Just to remind folks, this money is a must spend. This is not we can put in a rainy day fund. If I had my druthers, I would put in this in rainy day fund, given the uncertainty of the federal government. And this is obviously not a steady money. The millionaire's tax is still kind of one of those things that takes several years to shake out what is considered revenue. So a lot of stuff we put into rainy day money tends to be one time, not everything, but tends to be one time. So for example, this year, we continue our commitment with the MBTA under the $1.8 billion, $740 million is going to the MBTA to address this deficiency reserve. We know the MBTA, it doesn't matter how many riders you have, the cost of doing business is so high that it can't keep up with its budget. We put 520 million into 525 million into deficiency reserves. We do 125 million to workforce and safety reserves over there. As you may know, the National Transportation Safety Board has been on the MBTA's case about public safety issues and safety of its workers, of which they're like that close to receivership at one point regarding worker safety. So obviously, I think everyone, regardless of your opinion, does not want to see any employees hurt as well as passengers. We have like $6 million for physical infrastructure of the subway system, $20 million for low fare riding assistance, $10 million for water infrastructure. Some other folks that are not, some other funding not MBTA related includes like snow and ice removal. Obviously, we talk about the blizzards. That is a bill. We get bills for that. We don't front pay that. So it's up $50 million so far, and possibly more, depending what happens in snow on snow money. Regional Transit Authority workforce. Again, if you're not in the MBTA area, there is regional transit. We put 25 million there. And then we do something with sustainable aviation fuel credit to address some of the fuel crisis we're dealing now with regional aviation. That's 30 million. And then we put some money to MassDOT and service improvements for 30 million. And then we put some money towards education. 470 million of that is education driven. When you add that with stuff we've done in the budget, it's about 48, 47% to 53%, not quite 50-50, but you throw in the stuff we did in the budget. So that includes 20 million for green school works programs for upgrading our systems on energy efficiency and clean usage, $150 million towards the special education circuit breaker costs. These are unexpected costs by city and towns on sped programs, and
Okay.
also for kids that move from one school system to another. $150 for early education child costs. The federal government's withdrawn a lot of funding towards early education child care, which we're going to try to fill a little bit of money. Some other things include financial aid assistance grants at 18.3 million in college, which actually Quincy College students will qualify for. And then we do some matches and it downs for $20 million. So that's roughly, I didn't hit every highlight because I didn't
Yeah.
want to bore you with too much, but those are some of the highlights associated with what we did with the millionaire's tax and some money for basically paying bills like snow removal. That is a bill. We get billed. And people expect to get paid when they they work for the state. I'm just big surprise, folks. I mean, if you're a snowplow contractor listening, the money and the House has been appropriated. This bill needs to pass the Senate.
I was just going to ask where it goes next. Okay.
Yeah, and once the Senate finishes up, we go to conference and it goes to the governor for review. So while it passes the House, I'm sure people who did some yeoman's work on removing snow is eager to get paid by the state if you're a state contractor. I'm sorry, it's going to take a little longer to get there. We also include some collective bargaining agreements. I've been getting a lot of calls and emails from public employees and collective bargaining agreements, and that money's in here as well. But again, it's going to the Senate and then return to the governor.
Okay, but as I understand it, this really has to be earmarked for either education or transportation, right?
The millionaire's tax, yes. This is
Okay.
one of the quirky things about that is that since this is in the Constitution, as a what do you call it? A graduated tax increase, because that's what it is, a graduated income tax increase on people making over $1 million.
Four % right, I think.
It's 4%. It dictates literally that you have to spend the money in education and transportation equally. Well, we're close to equal. Unfortunately, I don't think we'll ever get to exactly equal. Like I said, I had my brother's rainy day fund, but the Constitution is the Constitution. The voters voted for it, so folks, you can yell at me about this one, but you can blame the voters. I don't know what to say.
But how does collective bargaining fall under that guideline?
Yeah, the collective bargaining agreements for various state public employee agencies. So the governor's executive branch offices negotiate all these contracts with public employee unions of various sorts. And then we, you know, they would submit, the governor's office submits their appropriation request, of which we would approve. So whatever the contract date start is, the amount of money in here is does consider the fact it's going to be somewhat back pay.
Okay, all right,
So it
but
was
how
like a
can
January 1st effective date, and we don't
right.
pass this to May, you'll get your money between January and May.
But why does that come out of the millionaire's tax fund?
Oh, no,
That's
it
what I
isn't. This is
Oh, it
actually
does.
part of the, this is part of the five, we have $507 million of non-millionaire's tax money.
Oh, okay.
And
Gotcha. Okay.
that part pays for that section.
Gotcha. Okay.
So
Thank you for
we do have some other bills
Yep.
that are not also one-time costs or new money that's baked into the future budgets. Like collective bargaining is basically baked into a future budget we're paying now. And then, there's, so it's like one point, it's $1.8 billion for millionaire's taxes, $507 million of other bills.
Yep, gotcha. Okay. And is that how it's going to work kind of every year, Tacky? Like you're going to kind of wait till you get the final number from the millionaire's tax before you allocate it?
Yeah, so you guys, I think, all figured out. We tend to be extremely conservative about revenue numbers. As a result, these are like, are these really considered surpluses when you're making really conservative numbers, right? So it's all an eye in the beholder. And there's taxes are a little bit tricky because people think it's like a steady revenue. It really isn't steady revenue. I mean, if you lose your job, if you move, if you die, if you have a change in status regarding where you are employed, it's very inconsistent. And the millionaire's tax falls in that category because people may be moving out of state, which is seen in places like New York and now happening in California, to other states to be tax havens. But as I like to remind folks, people may be moving, but they didn't sell their homes.
Right, we talked about this. So
I
they're
don't
still
believe.
paying taxes in the state, regardless.
Yeah, you didn't sell your home, you're paying these property taxes, which from the state level does absolutely nothing for us.
Well, true, right?
So it takes 5 or so years for these things to shake out to see what the migration of peoples are or to find new ways to take advantage of the tax code to try to reduce their adjusted gross incomes.
We're gonna have a kind of an abbreviated show today, but I did want to talk about the big white elephant in the room, and that is the Iran war and how it's impacting the energy market.
You guys all know I watched the energy market very closely. WTI last night cracked 110 up to 113. West Texas is still $100 for now. Iran hit the Qatar natural gas plants, which was IFIR was under control. They hit the Baghdad U.S. embassy. They have zero capacity to attack the U.S. directly, other than through terror cells. If they, that's like the red line. They do terror cells in the U.S. We're gonna bomb them to the Stone Age. We've seen, you guys all know, we've seen what happens if you commit a foreign terror attack on U.S. soil. We will bomb you to the Stone Age. I mean, we've done it before, we'll do it again. I mean, that's just a fact. So, obviously, I think that's a last resort option for them. But yeah, I mean, until there's a resolution here or some form, storage capacity is full in the Middle East that re relies on the Persian Gulf exit point, the Strait of Hormuz to the Strait of Oman. Since they have no more capacity, they've turned off everything in the Middle East that requires that access point, and the storage tanks are full. And all it takes is one drone to set off a monster fire. So, energy markets can be a mess. Asia and parts of Europe in particular are going to be in high demand. The US, while it is a next exporter, we're already at maximum capacity of export. There is no more we can do. We are not a country that overbuilds capacity. You build to capacity of need, you don't build any more. So at this stage, everything we are exporting is, that's it. People under the president and other people under some impression this makes the US more money. No, it doesn't make you and me any more money. It's more money being sucked out of our pockets. And corporations in fossil fuel energy is making more money, but there is a limit of how much. The biggest winner in geopolitics is Vladimir Putin. Russia makes out like a bandit right now because the Trump administration's lifts the sanctions temporarily on Russian oil. They're trying to encourage India to buy even more Russian oil after telling India to stop buying Russian oil after the Biden administration told them to buy. So Biden said buy to India Russian oil. Trump said stop buying. So of course India's trying to wean themselves off. And now because of Iran, they told India to go buy Russian oil again. And for those who aren't aware, the Russians are moving oil through dark ships, meaning no transponders. Now, this has been documented and proven by multiple news sources and European intelligence agencies and our own CIA. So this is true. Too many sources have confirmed this. And they were getting like, the barrel oil 60, they were getting paid $45, $50 per barrel. Now our oil's cracking $100+. The Russians are getting $80 or $80 or $90 per barrel. So, I mean, all we've done is make the Russians rich at this point in the short term, and forcing other countries to go to Russia because they're actually under capacity. They still have capacity to push out more natural gas and oil because of the, our sanctions, Ukraine war. So the single biggest economic winner, all enough, you can put off gets Exxon or Chevron or Shell. No, it's actually Russia.
Interesting. Well, that's their primary commodity, right? That they sell.
Yeah, and they've also shut out the natural gas. So Gazprom, which is the Russian state arm that had pipelines through Ukraine. Ukraine was actually still getting money from Russia during the war because they had contractual agreements moving that gas through Ukraine. Well, that ended already last year. Ukraine lost like $2 billion a year, I think, on that gas line. But also, that's costing the Russians revenue on natural gas. It screws up countries like Romania and others that are sitting on the Ukraine border when that happened. Now, with this advent of the natural gas crisis and the oil crisis caused by U.S. action in Iran has basically give Russia another opportunity to use this dark fleet. And since we temporarily lift sanctions on Russia, they don't have to use the dark fleet. They can reactivate the transponders and go into ports. And I do think that countries like Iran, I'm sorry, countries like India and China and Indonesia and France and others, including European powers like France and Greece and Italy and those other ones, are probably trying to are trying to figure out and seriously consider cutting a separate deal by Iran to basically let their own ships out, particularly China and India. India's already let two tankers out. I'm anticipating China's going to cut a deal.
Interesting. Yeah, so it's really getting to be very political, more than just the war itself.
Well, I think people at home tend to forget that that in democratic nations you have your own voters to face. I mean, people under the pro-Trump folks always forget that other countries have their own voters. And the polling in those countries is showing, 58 to over 60% negative negative America, especially with Iran. So you're like, oh, I don't care what European countries think. Well, that's okay, but they care
Mm-hmm.
because they got to get reelected.
Right, right,
And
right,
if
right.
you're a country like China, who is in stagnated economy, and you're very dependent on importing fossil fuels, rising costs does not help their stagnated economy. And a place like Korea and Japan, which have zero fossil fuel capacity, do not really want to buy from China because they don't want to create more codependency economically, but they may have to. And China's actually shut off exports right now, same as India. Creates all kinds of geopolitical problems. And listen carefully, if people become less dependent on the United States, you just drive them into the arms of somebody else. And it reduces the US influence over other countries. And I mean, should anyone be surprised that, asking for help on a war that you weren't originally asked to participate in and suddenly asked to participate after the fact? I mean, it's like saying that, I started to fight my boss and then you're going, or your next door neighbor, like I'm fighting Joe here, in a fist fight. Then I call, my neighbor next door, Bob, and say, hey, I want you to come fight Joe for me. And Bob's like, why? I mean, well, what does that
Right.
have to do with me? I mean, this is kind of what's going on here. And if you don't see that, then think about it in terms of fighting your neighbors, right? You put in that context, it should be much more clear, on this kind of geopolitical thing. And also, one thing that no one's talked about is two other things. One is helium. What their biggest export of helium? Helium is a crucial element for chip making. So all your semiconductors actually require helium. And the other one is actually fertilizer.
Yes, I had heard about the fertilizer.
Yeah, this is a big problem for Europe, Asia, and the United States regarding
Surprised
food.
me. Surprised me about that. I didn't realize Iran was such a big producer of it.
Yeah, all that Middle Eastern fertilizer is now trapped, which is going to be bad for actually global food supply.
That's
So
right.
you haven't had enough problems with gas price inflation, and diesel is now $5 a gallon. We haven't seen $5 a gallon diesel in a very long time. That means truck transport is going to be very expensive getting your retail goods to you.
Right.
And wholesale transport. And then you throw on top of that a possibility of fertilizer shortage on a global level. That could actually also drive up food costs because you
Yeah.
don't have shortages of certain foods.
I know there's been discussion about temporarily suspending the state gas tax. How do you feel about that?
He says, spend the gas tax. How are we going to pay for the roads and bridges that we're paying for now, right?
Right.
This is a very popular item that Republicans like to put out, but even Republican states don't actually ever do it because you're just kicking the debt to a different day. And a lot of our gas tax pays bonds. So you guys tell me, do you not pay your debt?
Right. No,
What
it has
happened?
to get paid one way or the other, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and you kick the can down the road, you're paying more interest. So, you guys all know if you don't pay your debts, all you're doing is kicking the interest down the road and you're going to pay twice as much later. So again, this is very popular things, but you look around the country, I mean, even in Republican states like to talk about this stuff, but no one ever pulls the trigger. They just don't. I mean, the ones that do, I mean, the states of no income tax do have gas tax. So if you have no income tax to pay your debts, your bonds, and you take away the gas tax, your bond rating is going to go to crap.
Yeah, and they typically have higher, like New Hampshire, higher property taxes.
Yeah, New Hampshire actually, I believe, has a higher gas tax than we do because they don't have an income tax. So you got tolls to pay for the roads, and you actually, I think, pay actually a higher gas tax up there. So, and you're right about property taxes. The cost shift on responsibility, government services shifts down to the local level, of which you're paying for it somehow. So, I like to say the tax stuff is always kind of a bit of a misnomer on a national level because only people only look at income taxes. They don't look at property, county taxes. We don't do that here. Sales tax, hotel, motel, fees for services. I mean, governments around the country actually have to make up the money for services somehow. And how do you pay your match with the federal government regarding certain services? Like we talked about this before, the SNAP program is an employee match. So, and they're going to shift it to 75-25, meaning that your tax dollars are going to have to pay 75% of a federal program that used to be a 50-50 split. And then, we found out from DOA, and I know unemployment is frustrating everybody, including us here in the State House. We found out that the federal government's reduced funding for DOA employees from 73 million to 57.
Is that right? Well,
And they're talking about a 5% reduction again nationally because the Feds are going to cut another 5%. So yeah, everyone's mad at unemployment applications. We're very aware of it, but also be aware that this administration has been cutting back on DUA employees. Again, a federal program, not a state program that we administer for them. And they're going to look to cut again on employee costs.
Seeing as we're talking about energy, as you're aware, the DPU is currently having public hearings about their proposed National Grid's proposed rate increase for next year. I think one of them's coming up in Quincy actually soon. So, is that not guaranteed that rate increase is going to happen?
There's no guarantees. It's adjudicated matter. So they're required to have a public hearing anytime they do a rate adjustment and normally rate increase. And the rates are generally set for 5 years time, 5 years under time. And it's a distribution rate, it's not your energy. So it's basically the payment for the maintenance and transport of energy on the small wires coming into your home, not the giant wires, the small wires. So I've not looked at this proposal. I'm tied up on a lot of other things right now. And also I don't work in the AG's office anymore.
Right.
I
This
did
is for
this.
natural gas, I think, not
Natural
electric,
gas.
right?
Yeah,
Yep.
again, you can tell I'm not being paying attention to this, but I actually did one of these as an AAG in City Hall back in the day when we did the electric proposal, a rate increase. So in the case of natural gas, it is pretty much all decoupled because the natural gas rate is natural gas rate. You're paying for the maintenance and movement of the gas through lines, and a lot of the costs associated with natural gas is maintenance. Gas leaks are bad. I think everyone knows that. So, they're going to be making a proposal of, the costs of maintenance and capital improvements associated with gas lines.
Right. The question that being raised is what, why do that if the state's trying to wean itself off natural gas in the near future?
Well, we're not doing anytime soon because the Trump administration's basically screwed up the entire renewable energy world for all of us. And Hydro-Québec is great, but that line is still being constructed. It should be finished soon, I think. I have not looked at the timeline. I have to ask around and we'll see what the timeline is. And the Vineyard windmill, the first one just went up. But you're gonna need like 500 of those things. One doesn't cover it. So given the fact that it could be another start and stop with this administration, it's going to extend our life in using fossil fuels. And, we're going to be completely off of it. I don't think we're going to be 100% off of it. The idea is we're trying to reduce consumption. And, let's be honest about it. I mean, I won't name the town, but one town actually stopped using gas and won't build new gas lines, and they can't open a restaurant.
Okay.
No
So there's
restaurant,
an economic impact. Yeah.
uses electric.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah,
There you
it's just
go.
true. I mean, restaurants, industrial kitchens are gas driven. Same thing with hotels.
Things you don't think about until they happen, right?
If you're a restaurant owner, a restaurateur, the rest of you who enjoy restaurants have no idea what goes in the kitchen. As a kid, my dad did have a Chinese restaurant for 3 years. So I'd been in the back of a Chinese kitchen and I've done the whole, not quite latchkey kid, but more like, after school, sit at the restaurant, or are they doing homework?
Sure. just a couple of minutes left, but we're talking here on March 19th. The Fed just yesterday, as you know, decided to not touch the interest rates again.
No surprise. Uncertainty in the world. Also, Consumer Price Index actually moved the markets and the Fed on decision. It was supposed to go up 0.3% on the cost of doing business. Inflation basically is production, making production, and that went up. I think it was 0.7%. That shocked everyone. Of course, core PCE 3.2, even though CPI is like 2.4, I think.
That sounds right. Yeah.
And unemployment numbers are weirdo right now. I don't understand what's going on with unemployment numbers. Everything's over the board and trying to figure it out. So I think it's to stay pat. I mean, Chair Powell made an indication that until that he gets replaced, he basically is there. And given that Senator Tillis is not letting anything happen in the banking committee right now in the U.S. Senate, it's looks like we're going to continue to have a fairly steady hand, so to speak, at the Federal Reserve. And remind folks, the Federal Reserve changing the short rate does nothing to change the long rate. So if you think this helps your mortgage for anything that's a 10 to 30-year time period? The answer is no. This is all short-term borrowing to fix your credit cards, your car loans. It affects banks borrowing money from the Fed Reserve. It affects like CD rates and federal bond rates, the short end of the rates, anything under a year and a year, actually 2 years and below. So, I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there that the Federal Reserve lowers rates, it helps your mortgages. It actually does not.
Right. Need to cut it short today, Tacky, but how do you folks get a hold of you?
Sure, 617-722-2370, 617-722-2370. You see my office, and I'll be in the office much more as we get even more busy as the session continues. Tacky.chan@mahouse.gov, tacky.chan@mahouse.gov. That is my email here. We do have State Representative Tacky Chan Facebook. We do have an Instagram at Tacky Chan associated with that Facebook. Give you a heads up. People have already done fraudulent Tacky Chan Instagrams.
Really?
It's already happened. My staff caught them. So yeah, be very careful, folks. That it probably maybe kind of won't be me if you see me on there. We talk about AI generation a lot already on this show, and I am now one of the folks that is a victim of that. So
Oh.
just be cautious of social media you see me on. MALegislature.gov, MALegislature.gov is the state website. Very much encourage everybody to participate and follow legislation and watch our public hearings there. We do have tackychan.org. It is just a resource page, contact page, phone numbers you can use before you find us. And of course, check in with Joe and us. If you got a question, qatv@qatv.org, qatv@qatv.org. Ask Joe a question, and Joe decides if he's going to ask me.
I will absolutely ask you. I'm still waiting for the
Yeah, we haven't a first-time caller yet.
one. Not a first-time caller yet,
We need a
no.
first-time caller, folks. Send Joe anything, please.
You could be it.
Hey, I mean, it doesn't have to be about public policy. I mean, you can ask anything you want. You'd be surprised how often I will actually answer a question that has nothing to do with work.
Absolutely. That's we have no boundaries here on Tacky Talk.
Yeah, we've proven that more than one
That's
time.
right. Thanks a lot, Tacky.
Thank you, Joe.